welcome to tonight's program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. It is 7 minutes past the hour. Did you watch the Academy Awards last night? You know, I got an email here from Kathy in Maine, and she touches on something that Kathy and I mentioned. Kathy not in Maine. Kathy in Atlanta, in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. Oh, well, last night while we were watching the Academy Awards, which was really kind of a waste of time, I was reading, and I'm not sure what Kathy was doing, but we had the television on. Okay, let's put it that way. Anyway, Kathy in Maine writes, a Malloy chat friend, Cosmic Michael, and I Skyped while watching the Oscars last night. We were both expecting to see a shout-out to Madison, Wisconsin, or in light of the weekend solidarity marches around the country, possibly a fist in the air to show support of all union workers like themselves. Unfortunately, it was a disappointment to see so many Screen Actors Guild members, Writers Guild, Directors Guild members, completely missed the opportunity to say or show something to convey solidarity on a grand stage. According to Fire Dog Lake, a small beep was heard from the Best Cinematography winner, Wally Pfister, when he thanked, quote, my union crew on Inception, end quote. And we did applaud the winner for Best Documentary, Inside Job, when he used his acceptance speech to complain that no executives have ever gone to jail after perpetrating massive financial fraud. That was good, but that was it. Nothing more was said. It was troubling to watch a myriad of Oscar presenters and winners incapable of showing any outright support to Madison or to unions in general, given all the protests that gathered in every state over the very same weekend to show support. These Hollywood Guild members clearly missed a golden opportunity to diminish the all-too-common stereotype of the prima donna, self-promotional, egotistical Hollywood type. It was a shameful and thoughtless oversight. First, they came for the public unions, dot, 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 Kathy in Maine. Yeah, we were pretty stunned about that also. The self-referential idiocy of the Academy Award winners is getting to a point where it's ridiculous to even watch the program. I don't know why we still do. Do you, Kathy? You have any idea why we still? It's I don't know. It's a holdover, I guess, from years and years ago, when actual statements would be made by the people getting it. Receiving the award. But to hear people get up there and thank their wives, their husbands, thank their children, what the hell did a five-year-old do in producing a movie? It's crazy. It's just crazy. And again, as Kathy in Maine points out, it would have been a perfect opportunity for people who are members of guilds and unions in Hollywood to show some solidarity. Remember when Marlon Brando refused to accept an Oscar? Was that for Mutiny on the Bounty? I forget what it was, but he sent someone to refuse the Oscar in his place, a Native American. Remember that? So I don't know. It's puzzling. It really is puzzling why people who are very strong, have to be strong supporters of unions, wouldn't even acknowledge. Now, the production companies that, of course, are not unionized, that's why so many movies are shot outside the United States now. That's why so many times various provinces in Canada will be the setting for someplace in the United States, because SAG and AFTRA, I guess SAG and AFTRA still apply up there, but they're different. The trade unions in Canada are different, of course, from the trade unions here. And it's just a shame, without getting real deep into it, it's just a damn shame that the writers and producers and directors and actors last night had a golden opportunity to just acknowledge what was going on, especially the day before, on Saturday. It's my understanding that hundreds of thousands of people turned out across the country in support of unions and in solidarity with the strikers in Wisconsin, in Madison. Here in Atlanta, Kathy and Molly and I went to a rally in downtown Atlanta in front of the state capitol. We were lucky to have 350 people there, but down the street and separated by a couple of cops was about 50, if that many, between 30 and 50 self-hating Republicans. So it was just kind of a shame to drive or to walk past them and listen to what they were saying and read their signs. The only thing they could come up with is Obama is a socialist and Obama should show his birth certificate. And I mean, these people's brains just lock down, don't they? Just lock down. Oh, the hell with them. Before we get to the other topics of the day, I just got this before we went on the air. There's a school district in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's the Flower Bluff Intermediate School District. And a student there, Bianca Pete, Nikki is her nickname, she made a request to the school district to start a club, a gay straight alliance club. Have you heard? You've heard about what those are. The whole purpose of the GSA clubs is to build a bridge of tolerance and unity among teenagers, to stop the bullying, to short circuit the sick, perverted messages that some of these kids get from their so-called Christian parents. Muslim parents too, I guess. I don't know. The Jews are pretty tolerant, I guess. But a gay straight alliance is something that the kids put together in order to get over the ridiculous hatred that the parents, the adults, try to pump into the community of these kids. So in order to stop the forming of a gay straight alliance in this Corpus Christi, Texas school district, the superintendent decided to shut down all extracurricular clubs in the school district. Everything is shut down. Now, by canceling all extracurricular clubs on campus, the school district hopes to avoid the Equal Access Act. That was a federal law passed in 1984 that requires school receiving federal funding to offer, quote, fair opportunities for students to form student-led extracurricular groups regardless of their religion, political, or philosophical leanings, end quote. So in order to stop a bunch of gay kids and straight kids from just putting together a discussion group to meet after school, these sorry son of a bitches that run this school district close down everything. Isn't that a typical right-wing attitude? In order to deny the kids a right to form a club, let's just end all clubs. What a bunch of evil sons of bitches. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be right back. So the story here is in Corpus Christi, Texas, the school district there, Flower Bluff Intermediate School District. In order to stop the formation of a student-led gay-straight alliance that would be used to build tolerance amongst gay and non-gay kids in high school and middle school, the superintendent there decided to ban all clubs, in the school district. And the reason for doing that is to stop an alliance between gay kids and straight kids. I know I'm repeating myself. A statement from Paul Rodriguez, president of the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Gay Straight Alliance, about this decision. Quote, "What a sad, sad day in Corpus Christi. Hatred and intolerance prevails in Flower Bluff Intermediate School District. Rather than allowing the Gay Straight Alliance to form, administrators have chosen the alternative route of disallowing all non-curricular clubs to meet on campus. Not only has this district turned its back on the students who could benefit from a gay-straight alliance, it is now also alienated the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and other non-curricular clubs on campus as well." So you can get updates on the story at change.org if you want to. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that it is so important to these adults, these Christian adults, to stop dialogue between gay kids and straight kids, that they would ban every single club from school, from the whole district. That's evil. I mean, how do you classify that if not evil? All right, kids, that's it. You can't have any kind of a club. Saturday, thousands of people were in the streets. Call it a Main Street movement. Thousands of people in the streets demonstrating against these cuts to public services and crackdowns on organized labor, all of it being pushed by corporatists, conservatives, fascists like the Koch brothers. The lawmakers who are attacking this collective bargaining and cutting necessary services like college tuition and health benefits for public workers claim that they have no choice but to take these actions because both state and federal governments are in debt. Ooh, that's the first time that's ever happened, right? But you know something? It wasn't the teachers or the firefighters or the policemen or the college students that caused the economic destruction that has devastated government budgets. It was Wall Street. It was the capitalists. It was the corporatists. This is their gig. And as middle-class workers are being asked to sacrifice, the rich continue to rig the system, dodging taxes and avoiding paying their fair share. Now, how bad is it? Zaid Jilani, writing at Think Progress, cites an interview in the magazine In These Times. Carl Gibson, the founder of U.S. Uncut, which is organizing some of today's Saturday's UK-inspired massive demonstrations, explains that while ordinary Americans are being asked to sacrifice, major corporations continue to use the rigged tax code to avoid paying any federal taxes at all. And as Carl Gibson points out, if you have $1 in your wallet, you're paying more than the combined income tax liability of GE, ExxonMobil, Citibank, and the Bank of America. Do you understand that? Bank of America, let's go down the list. Bank of America, in 2009, Bank of America didn't pay a single penny in federal income taxes. They exploited the tax code so as to avoid paying its fair share. Robin Willens, a tax accounting expert, interviewed by McClatchy newspaper, said, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. If you go out and try to make money and you don't do it, why should the government pay you for your losses? That's a question asked by Bob McIntyre, Citizens for Tax Justice. The same year, the mega bank's top executives received pay ranging from $6 million to nearly $30 million. I don't have to educate you or talk to you about Bank of America. No taxes, zero. When we come back after the break, we'll tell you about Boeing, ExxonMobil, General Electric, Wells Fargo, General Electric, which happens to... don't they still own NBC? Or did General Electric... Oh, they sold off 51% to Comcast. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Rage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Molloy.
25 before the hour. So we're talking about how corporate America, capitalist America, refuses to pay even a tiny bit of its share. And yet, on the backs of the working people in this country, these budget shortfalls are supposed to be taken care of. I don't like the governor of Wisconsin at all. I think he is an absolute bastard who is doing the bidding of the people who put him in office. Anyway, Bank of America pays no taxes. Boeing, despite receiving billions of dollars from the federal government every year in taxpayer subsidies, Boeing didn't pay a dime of U.S. federal corporate income taxes between 2008 and 2010. Citigroup's deferred income taxes for the third quarter of 2010 amounted to a grand total of zero. At the same time, Citigroup has continued to pay its staff lavishly. John Havens, the head of Citigroup's investment bank, is expected to be the bank's highest paid executive for the second year in a row, being paid $9.5 million, but nothing for taxes. ExxonMobil uses offshore subsidiaries in the Caribbean to avoid paying taxes in the United States, although ExxonMobil paid $15 billion in taxes in 2009, not a penny of those taxes went to the American Treasury. This was the same year that the company overtook Walmart in the Fortune 500. Meanwhile, the total compensation of ExxonMobil CEO in the same year was $29 million. See, there are countries where companies like ExxonMobil, they pay their taxes, that their asses are thrown out of the country. But we're not one of them. So no taxes. General Electric. In 2009, GE, the world's largest corporation, filed more than 7,000 tax returns and still paid nothing to the U.S. government. They managed to do this by a tax code that essentially subsidizes companies for losing profits and allows them to set up tax havens overseas. The same year, GE Chief Executive Jeffrey Immelt, who recently scored a spot on the White House Economic Advisory Board, his compensation was $10 million. In 2002, Immelt displayed his lack of economic patriotism, saying, "When I'm talking to GE managers, I talk China, 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 China. Outsourcing from China is going to grow to $5 billion." Wells Fargo, I guess he means money. Wells Fargo, despite being the fourth largest bank in the country, Wells Fargo was able to escape paying federal taxes by writing off all its losses after its acquisition of Wachovia. Yet, in that same year, The chief executive of Wells Fargo saw his compensation more than doubled, $13 million. I mean, this kind of stuff is how countries sink into violence and revolution. It's that kind of stuff, because eventually people become aware of this. They become aware of how the capitalists, the ultra-wealthy, just don't give a goddamn whether you live or die. They don't care about your kids. They don't care about you. They don't care about your grandma. They don't care about anything. And they show that lack of care and concern. Even though they're here, they are predators. They come here to eat and feed, and then they run when it's time to pay the bill. And I'm just telling you, this is eventually the people will have had enough, and they'll stand up on their hind legs and say, "You sons of bitches, up against the wall." I forgot to mention, this hour is brought to you by Kauai John. Kauai John. That would be Hawaiian, wouldn't it? Kauai John. He has a message. It says, "Now that Malloy has your blood boiling, find out why. Join Peter B. Collins and the Boiling Frogs for an uninterrupted, detailed examination of the real state of our union. You can get podcasts at peterbcollins.com. Mike gets me riled, and Peter B. interviews those who can explain why. PeterBCollins.com. Kauai John. Thank you, John. And I'm sure Peter B. thanks you, too. All right, time. Have we got time? I guess. From Prairie 2, canned pizza. Woo! In a desperate move to cling to power, Governor Walker of Wisconsin, has upped the ante by making still more ridiculous budget claims. He says he needs to lay off thousands of workers if the senators don't pass his so-called emergency bill by tomorrow. But this crisis revolves around the reselling of state debt. He doesn't mention that he wants to convert one-year notes to 10-year notes at a much higher interest rate, costing the taxpayers a ton of money. I didn't know that. The governor calls this saving money in the fiscal year. Most people would call this kicking the can way down the road and paying through the nose to do it. He keeps saying that the previous governors had made pension promises the taxpayers can't afford to pay. He doesn't mention that most of the governors in the past were Republicans. And he doesn't mention that the pension fund is 99.7% funded, even after Wall Street tanked. The last governor was a Democrat. And not a fool, so the state isn't in bad shape at all. Wisconsin state workers took 2 weeks unpaid furloughs to balance the budget. Walker's punchline to every story he tells it is that we're broke. This is not true, of course. But Walker says what David Koch wants you to hear. By far the largest amount of coverage of the pro-union protest in Madison, Wisconsin has come from Fox News, who portray it as a violent mob of union thugs. God damn. 100,000 came Saturday and not one arrest. Madison is known for a sense of humor, and somebody is passing out signs for little kids to carry around saying, "I'm a union thug." NBC is the only corporate news to give it much coverage, but this seems to be shifting as the second major poll has come out showing that Americans favor the unions by 60% to 30% against. The survey commissioned by CBS and New York Times also showed taxpayers overwhelmingly favor tax increases over tax cuts to public workers. Katie Couric confronted union buster New Jersey Governor Chris Christie with these numbers, and while initially taken aback, he quickly countered with words to the effect that CBS is just making the numbers up, and that he, Governor Christie, speaks for the people. Oh, you miserable son of a bitch. Governor Walker tried to present his official budget in a closed meeting to a Republican crowd who couldn't get tickets, but he couldn't get around the Wisconsin Constitution, however, and must do it in the Capitol. Protesters vowing to spend the night after being ordered out included hundreds of off-duty police officers, deputy sheriffs, and prison guards. Not to be bothered by those pesky protesters, he tricked most of them into leaving Sunday night by promising them they could come back in the morning, and then he locked the doors. Well, you know what to do about that, don't you, folks? The doors remained locked all day Monday, with only Republican staffers and lobbyists granted entrance. Elected Democratic Assembly representatives who couldn't produce official IDs were not allowed in. He even had the windows welded shut to keep pizzas from coming in, hoping to starve out the remaining protesters. The lesson? If you go to a sit-in, remember to take canned pizza with you. PrairieNumeral2.com. I know what I would like to do to Governor Walker. It would be so much fun. Until he squeals. William Black is an associate professor of economics and law at University of Missouri in Kansas City. And he's the author of, you remember this title, I know you haven't read the book, neither have I, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. He said today regarding the craziness, quote, this is the third financial crisis in 25 years driven by an epidemic of fraud led by the CEOs of seemingly legitimate firms. In the SNL debacle, prompt re-regulation, intense supervision over the ferocious opposition of powerful politicians, and courageous prosecutions led to the felony convictions of over 1,000 major SNL executives and their cronies. In the current crisis, not a single senior executive of the major frauds that drove the crisis has been convicted. The story is partially resources. We have 1/6 the FBI agents assigned to this crisis as we're assigned to the far smaller SNL crisis. But it is far more the collapse of regulation. Regulators must make the criminal referrals and serve as the Sherpas, if there are to be successful prosecutions of thousands of elite, sophisticated white-collar crimes. The regulators have to do the heavy lifting, conducting the detailed investigations, and serve as the guides because the FBI cannot possibly have the industry expertise. SNL regulators made over 10,000 criminal referrals the criminal referrals. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency and the Office of Thrift Supervision made none during the current crisis. Without support from the regulators, the FBI formed a partnership with the Mortgage Bankers Association. That's the trade association of the perpetrators. The Mortgage Bankers Association created a definition of mortgage fraud that defined out of existence fraud by mortgage bankers, the leading cause of fraud. You see how this works? Jesus, God. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Kauai John. Kauai John, okay? I'm sorry. You know, when you do the sponsorships, send me a pronouncer with some of these. Kauai John, K-A-U-A-I, Kauai John. The message, now that Malloy has your blood boiling, find out why. Join Peter B. Collins and the Boiling Frogs for an uninterrupted, detailed examination of the real state of our union. You can get podcasts at peterbcollins.com or find him on iTunes. Mike Gets Me Riled and Peter B. interviews those who can explain why. peterbcollins.com or iTunes. Peter B. and I used to be on the same network, didn't we? That old defunct UAW network. What else do we got? I know we have other stuff here. What do we got? Anything? No? Time to go home? You know how the Republicans are always talking about how desperately they love the little clots of cells that occur a few days after sperm and egg join inside a woman's uterus? You know how they just love those little micro dots. They just love them. Republicans, right-wingers, conservatives will do anything to make sure that little dot, the size of the end, a period at the end of a sentence, is not harmed. Huh? Don't you just love them for their dedication to life? As Charles Blow in New York Times pointed out over the weekend, Republicans can't be pro-life when the child is in the womb, but indifferent when it's in the world. And Blow says, allow me to illustrate just how schizophrenic their position has become through the prism of premature babies. Of the 33 countries that the International Monetary Fund described as advanced economies, the United States now has the highest infant mortality rate, according to data from the World Bank. It took us decades to arrive at this dubious distinction. In 1960, we were 15th. In 1980, we were 13th. And in 2000, we were second. Now we're number one. Part of the reason for our poor ranking is that declines in our rates stalled after premature births, the leading cause of infant mortality, began to rise in the 1990s. The good news is that last year the National Center for Health Statistics reported that the rate of premature births fell in 2008, representing the first two-year decline in the last 30 years. Dr. Jennifer House, president of the March of Dimes, which in 2003 started a multi-million-dollar premature birth campaign focusing on awareness and education, has said of this decline, quote, the policy changes and programs to prevent preterm birth that our volunteers and staff have worked so hard to bring about are starting to pay off, end quote. The bad news, according to the March of Dimes, Republicans are going to do great damage to this progress because the Republicans' budget proposes $50 million in cuts to the maternal and child health block grant that supports state-based prenatal care programs and services for children with special needs. $1 billion in cuts to programs at the National Institutes of Health that support, quote, life-saving biomedical research aimed at finding the causes and developing strategies for preventing preterm birth, end quote. And those filthy goddamn Republicans have ordered nearly $1 billion in cuts to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for its preventive health programs, including its preterm birth studies. Oh, by the way, this is the same budget in which these filthy Republicans vote to strip all federal financing for Planned Parenthood. As Charles Blow says, it is savagely immoral and profoundly inconsistent to insist that women endure unwanted and in some cases dangerous pregnancies for the sake of unborn children, and then eliminate financing designed to prevent those children from being delivered prematurely, rendering them, the premature kids, the most fragile and vulnerable of newborns. How is this humane, you right-wing sons of bitches? How is it humane, you pigs? It is savagely immoral and profoundly stupid. And it's another reason that most normal people hate you bastards. You hypocrites. I'll tell you what, and this is in your Bible, not mine. I don't have one. You are going to the hottest place in hell. Jesus himself told you phony bastards to leave the kids alone because that innocence is the kingdom of heaven. You're going to burn for all of eternity. Every one of you Christians, into that hell that you created for doing this to children. Think about all this the next time you hear Republican representatives tout their pro-life bona fides, okay? Think about it the next time someone uses that ugly-ass nasty term, baby killer, against a physician who is conducting private medicine with a patient. These people are just beyond immoral. They are beyond criminal. Cutting funding from children, premature children, pregnant women, hungry children, hungry pregnant women, you bastards. Start the music before I say the F word and we all go out of business. I am so sick of these Republicans. I'd like to just have a private meeting about 30 seconds in duration with each one of them. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Sponsored by Claudia in Kentucky. Claudia writes, thank you, Mike and Kathy, for keeping me sane in Mitch McConnell land. As a retired teacher, I have to support progressive radio as the last bastion of real information. United, we negotiate. Divided, we beg. Ow, I like that. Claudia in Kentucky. Is this our sponsor? Thank you, Claudia. No, it's not kids' night, but it just seems that a couple of the things we're covering tonight have to do with children. The Republicans are murdering children. Republicans, the conservatives, the teabag movement, they want to murder any group of persons or individuals that can't fight back. This is what the bastards do. So the first target is children. Children and especially poor children destroy their education, destroy their nutrition programs. You know, if these kids had any gumption whatsoever, the teabaggers would tell you, they'd pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Now, of course, most kids who are in this problem, in this situation, don't have bootstraps, but try to explain that to one of these half-assed teabaggers, and you just get a dumb look and a sign that says Barack Obama is not really a citizen. I mean, you know, you can't. You have to either go around the teabaggers, the conservatives, or go through them. Personally, I prefer going through them, but, you know, whatever floats your boat. So we're talking about what these filthy Republicans are doing to children in order to satisfy their corporate masters. They can't touch the defense appropriations. They're afraid to tax the corporate predators that put them in office. So, you know, right down the list, they don't dare do something that adult men would respond to, because adult men would get together and pound these teabag bastards into the ground. So they go after kids, adult women, too. The adult women would show up and twist their goddamn heads off. So what's left? The kids. That's who the Republicans, it's always their first target, children. children. Those are the ones that they screw over first. And either directly by cutting programs that aid children, or going after their teachers, or going after support systems designed to help children. Children are the first target. Republicans hate children. They hate America. They hate everything about this country. But primarily, they hate children. And that's how you can tell they're not really Christian. They are some kind of a filthy hybrid of or lowbred of I don't know what they are, but they claim to be Christians, and their own spokesperson from God, the white man named Jesus with the long blonde hair and the blue eyes, right? He told them, you screw with the kids, you're screwing with me. So obviously, the Christians are not really Christians at all. They're predatory bastards. They hate children. They hate life. They hate anything that is positive or delightful or lovely or fun. That's why they hate sex. They hate women. They hate themselves. They hate children. They hate fun. They hate liberals. They hate everything. You sons of bitches. Oh, you rancid bastard, you. Anyway, Paul Krugman writing in the Times today. Was it today? I don't know. Republicans are demanding draconian spending cuts. And who will be the brunt of these cuts? Well, I just told you. America's children. Krugman writes, now politicians, conservative politicians, always claimed to be deeply concerned about the nation's children. Back during the 2000 campaign, then-candidate Bush touted the Texas miracle of dramatically lower dropout rates, declared that he wanted to be the education president. Today, advocates of big spending cuts often claim that their greatest concern is the budget. The budget and the burden of debt that our children will face. In practice, however, when advocates of lower spending get a chance to put their ideas into practice, the burden always seems to fall disproportionately on those very children they claim to hold so dear. Paul Krugman, Republicans do not hold children dear. They hate their own children. That's why they send them away to boarding schools or to get them out of the house. Every single Republican hates his children. And how do you know that? You can tell by what the person the Republican votes for. The very person that a Republican votes for will indicate the depth and breadth of the hatred that Republicans have for children. They hate them. They want to see them all dead, their own included. They just don't want to admit that part of it. But especially poor children. Die! Children minorities. Die! Children that are not part of their church. Die! And then they want to see their own die. Republicans hate children. Now, you might think that I'm just making all this up. How do I know this? I don't talk to Republicans ever. The way I know it is what they support, who they support, and then how those people that they support vote. They always vote to kill children. They vote to murder children, to maim children, to destroy children. Whether the children are 3, 4, 6 years old, or 18, 19, 17, they want to kill, murder, maim, and destroy children. That's what the sons of bitches are about. The quickest way to identify a Republican or a conservative is to simply say, yeah, they hate children. You got that? Good. Consider this, what's happening in Texas, Krugman writes, which more and more seems to be where America's political future happens first. Used to be California, now it's Texas. Texas likes to portray itself as a model of small government, and indeed it is. Taxes are low, at least if you're in the upper part of the income distribution. Taxes on the bottom 40% of the population are actually above the national average. Oh, well, government spending is also low. But here's the thing. While low spending may sound good in this abstract, what it amounts to in practice is low spending on children. Of course, Paul. Children who account directly or indirectly for a large part of government outlays at the state and local level. And in low tax, low spending Texas, the kids are not all right. The high school graduation rate is just 61.3%, and that puts Texas 43rd out of 50 in state rankings. Nationally, the state ranks 5th in child poverty. That's 5th from the top. The 5th most children in poverty. It leads number 1 in the percentage of children without health insurance. And only 78% of Texas children are in good health, significantly below the national average. But wait. Wait, you say. How can graduation rates be so low when Texas had that education miracle back when President Bush was governor, huh? What happened? Well, a couple of years into his presidency, the truth about that miracle came out. The truth? Texas school administrators achieved low reported dropout rates the old-fashioned way. They cheated. They lied. They changed the answers. Of course, this is what Republicans do. They are lying sons of bitches, every single one of that. One of them. I've been telling you this for 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, 20. For a long time, Republicans always lie. It's their nature. They can't help it. They are liars. And as Krugman says, that's not a pretty picture. Compassion aside, you have to wonder, and many business people in Texas do, how the state can prosper in the long run with the future workforce blighted by childhood poverty, poor health, and lack of education. But Krugman says, things are about to get much worse. We'll get to that after the break. This is the part that makes me just go ballistic. Any way you want to take that. When I start thinking about Republicans, conservatives, teabaggers, it's just incredible. They will crawl like some kind of four-legged animal across the street to plant their ugly carcasses in front of a clinic where abortions might be performed in order to stop the removal of something about the size of a period on the end of a sentence. But let a child, an actual living child, need help, and these filthy, hypocritical Christian liars will run and desert the child and do everything that they can to kill the child. Republicans are child killers.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We're looking at Paul Krugman's column today about how much Republicans despise children and do anything they can to harm children. They're almost like Catholic priests, you know what I mean? Anyway, he's talking about Texas, how kids in Texas, all the way up through and including high school, kids in Texas are at such risk. Thanks to the Republicans who control that state. Krugman says things are about to get much worse. A few months ago, another Texas miracle went the way of that education miracle of the 1990s. For months, Governor Rick Perry had boasted that his, quote, tough conservative decisions, end quote, had kept the budget in surplus while allowing the state to weather the recession unscathed. But after Mr. Perry's reelection, reality! Funny how that happens, huh? The state, Texas, is now scrambling to close a huge budget gap. Gee, where did that come from? By the way, Krugman writes, given the current efforts to blame public sector unions for state fiscal problems, it's worth noting that the mess in Texas was achieved with an overwhelmingly non-union workforce. That's right, you see, it's Texas. And here in the South, they would just as soon burn your house down as allow you to join a union. So when you hear all this talk about, I know you're not fooled by it, but you brain dead, you brain dead teabag freaks, you might want to wake up and smell the heroin or whatever the hell it is you're cooking out there in your kitchen, because Texas does not have a unionized workforce, public workforce, and it's going belly up, even though Rick Goodhair Perry claimed otherwise. Another lying son of a bitch. That's all Republicans do is lie and hate children and try to kill them. So, anyway, back to Krugman. How will the gap in Texas be closed? Given the already dire condition of Texas children, you might have expected the state's leaders to focus the pain elsewhere. In particular, you might have expected high-income Texans, who pay much less in state and local taxes than the national average, that those high-income Texans, like the Bushes maybe, would be asked to bear at least some of the burden. But if you thought that, you'd be wrong. Tax increases have been ruled out of consideration. No. The gap will be closed solely through spending cuts. Medicaid, a program that is crucial to many of the state's children, will take the biggest hit. With the Texas legislature proposing a funding cut of no less than almost 30%. Including a reduction in the state's already low payments to providers. Now, that raises fears that doctors will start refusing to see Medicaid patients. Kids. Why would doctors do that? Well, some of them would do it because the money siphon is cut off. Other doctors would do it because they simply can't afford to. Some doctors will continue to see Medicaid children as long as they can keep their doors open. Education also is facing steep cuts in Texas, with school administrators talking about as many as 100,000 layoffs. What does that mean? 60, 70 kids per classroom? How long do you think a teacher in the Texas public school system is going to be able to do that? Krugman concludes, the really striking thing about all this isn't the cruelty. At this point, you expect cruelty from Republicans, but the short-sightedness. What's supposed to happen when today's neglected children become tomorrow's workforce? Anyway, Krugman says, the next time some self-proclaimed deficit hawk tells you how much he worries about the debt we're leaving our children, remember what's happening in Texas. A state whose slogan right now might as well be, lose the future. Now, you know, I need to ask again, why are we allowing this to happen? What will it take? What will it take to cause Americans by the hundreds of thousands, no, by the millions, to take to the streets and to begin the resistance peacefully and see how that works? And if peacefully doesn't work, then maybe not so peacefully. What will it take to get millions of us into the street? Or are we going to sit here and let this continue to happen until there is very little left to fight for? What are we going to do? What's it going to take? What will motivate you? What? Will anything cause you to react by making you get out, put your body on the street, and say no more? We'll be right back.
No more turning away. No more.
It's More Mike Malloy.
It's More Mike Malloy. It is indeed 25 before the hour. Next hour, we're going to take your phone calls, so stick around if you want to. This hour is sponsored by Claudia in Kentucky. She writes, "Thank you, Mike and Kathy, for keeping me sane in Mitch McConnell land. As a retired teacher, I have to support Progressive Radio as the last bastion of real information. United we negotiate, divided we beg." Claudia in Kentucky. That is so true, Claudia. Thank you. You know, like I said, before the break, I just wonder what it's going to take. This thing is coming to a head. It's going to happen in our lifetimes where we are going to have to fight for the freedoms that we fought so hard for in this country. I'm not talking about war in Asia or Europe or Central America. I'm talking about right here at home. It's going to have to happen because the capitalist right has gotten to the point where when it wants to, it just rolls over us. It puts people in office, federal and local, state, that will do what they, the capitalists, want done. And you know, thus it's always been, but usually those representatives or those senators or the administration or the governors would do a little bit for the capitalists, a little bit for the working people, a little bit for the capitalists, a little bit for the working people. And now it's a little bit for the capitalists, a little bit more for the capitalists, a little bit more for the capitalists, screw the working people, a little bit more for the capitalists, a little bit more for the capitalists. You see where it's gone? So, how much longer are we going to allow this to happen? Again, let me go back to Mario Savio from a million years ago. A million years ago. Well, all right, 1964. A lot of people say, oh my God, 1964? When was that? Oh, did I just get logged off? My computer just logged off. So if you're watching on Ustream and it all went dead, that's why. Mario Savio said, "There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all." That certainly makes sense to me, doesn't it to you? So Mario Savio said that in a speech at Sproul Hall, University of California, Berkeley, back in 1964. 1964, what was that, 47 years ago? Is that what it was, 47 years ago? It couldn't be that long ago. How many years ago was it, Truth Seeker? Somebody give me a number. 47? I think that's what it was. Sometimes the machine, the operation of the machine, becomes so odious, so hateful, that you have to throw yourself into the gears, onto the machine. You have to make it stop. You cannot support it, not even passively. And by passively supporting it, what Savio means, and you know this, means by just sitting back and saying, well, yeah, you know, something has to be done. Something sure has to be done. And then not do anything. It's gotten to the point where it doesn't make any difference, does it? I guess maybe to some people it does make a difference. How old you feel or how old you are. You have no choice. You have to do this. You simply have to do it. You have to respond. I hope you're going to be in D.C. on March 19th, anti-war demonstration. I will be there. Now, how much support is there? See, this is the part that gets me. The support out there for public sector workers and for unions is astonishing. A third of those surveyed in a recent poll, a third of people surveyed, 33%, say that they support, just outright, they support labor unions. A quarter, 25%, viewed them unfavorably. And the rest, 42% of the people polled, said they were either undecided or had not heard enough about labor unions. Can you effing believe that? They don't know about labor unions. And we've been talking about this for a number of years. When the public schools stopped teaching about labor unions, that's when it disappeared from collective memory. Now, this nationwide poll found that embattled public employee unions have the support of most Americans and most independents. Americans oppose weakening the bargaining rights of public employee unions by a margin of nearly 2-1, 60% to 33%. 60% of Americans to 33% say no, don't weaken the bargaining power. But I keep coming back to that figure. Labor unions, 42% of the people polled said they hadn't heard enough about them. Well, tell me about labor unions. What are they? I mean, I can't get my mind around that. I just can't. Oh well. Sixty-one percent of those polled, including just over half of lying, filthy Republicans, said they thought the salaries and benefits of most public employees were either about right or too low for the work they do. Ooh! The poll was conducted by telephone February 24th through the 27th. That was right up to and including Sunday night. 984 adults were polled. Sampling error, plus or minus 3 percentage points. The poll found an overwhelming 71% of Democrats opposed weakening collective bargaining rights. But there was also strong opposition from independents. 62% of them said they opposed taking bargaining rights away from public employee unions. What is it about collective bargaining that people don't understand? What is it about the average working stiff in this country that doesn't understand that just about everything in his work environment, whether he's a member of a union or not, was everything positive was gotten for him or her by unions? What part of that is not understood, for Christ's sake? The failure to educate young people about unions is just a crime. Well, then there's this. State legislatures have intensified their attacks on federal authority in the name of states' rights. See, I'm telling you, we are heading... maybe 25 years from now, if that long, the United States of America will cease to exist. There will be something called the Federated States of America. There's not a lot we can do to physically separate chunks of the United States. It can't be done physically, but it can be done politically, and it's going to be done politically. The Federated States of America is going to wind up kind of like the Russian Federation is now. And I'll get into that in a second. this idea of states' rights. I mean, this was settled a long time ago. But apparently, the right-wing thugs, these rat bastards who want to destroy America, you think I'm kidding they want to destroy America, will do just about anything that it takes to destroy America. And you, Truth Seeker, are going to have to respond at some point. You'll either respond actively or passively. We all will. All right, stick around. We got a break here. We'll come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Take responsibility. They can't run and hide. Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans. A form of suicide.
Republicans!
Before the hour, and again, this hour has been sponsored by Claudia in Kentucky, whose message is, thank you, Mike and Kathy, for keeping me sane in Mitch McConnell land. As a retired teacher, I have to support Progressive Radio as the last bastion of real information. United we negotiate, divided we beg. Oh, Claudia, that is so true. Thanks, Claudia. So state legislatures... the ones that are now controlled by the neo-fascists have intensified their attacks on federal authority in the name of states' rights. The efforts, according to New York Times, actually began before the election in fights over the health care bill and gun regulation, but have spread to issues including the regulation of greenhouse gases, commerce, and food safety. See, Republicans want you to eat poison food. Republicans want you to choke to death. Republicans want all commerce in the hands of capitalist pigs. A guy named Carl Kurtz, it says here, staff analyst at the National Conference of State Legislatures, says, quote, there's a lot more activity on a broader front. Fueled by the election results, more Republicans are pursuing their agenda, end quote. In Kentucky, the state Senate is expected to take up a bill this week declaring the state a sanctuary from meddling by the Environmental Protection Agency. Hey, let the sons of bitches choke to death. I mean, just do it. Right? That's one way to look at it. All right, Kentucky, you want to cut yourself off from rational thought? Clean water, clean air. Well, less dirty water, less dirty air. Okay. No more EPA for you. None. Screw you. You can wallow in your own excrement until it bubbles up and it gets to your nose and your mouth and you just sink beneath the waves and die. What the hell is wrong with you people? Oh, my God. In Arizona, the state Senate approved a measure that would exempt all products made and consumed within its boundaries from federal interstate commerce laws. What? Well, yeah, you dumb bastards. If it's made inside your state, then it wouldn't be interstate commerce, would it? Oh, my God. The Montana legislature is considering a bill that would allow the state of Montana to nullify federal laws that protect endangered species. Why? Why would you want to do that? You sick sons of bitches. Why? I mean, what's the point? It's because you're five-year-olds and you look out the window and you see daddy and you say, nyeh, 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 nyeh. That's what you all are acting like. We're not going to pay any attention to any endangered species. Kill them all. You dumbasses. Critics say all these measures are mostly right now just talk. Rhetorical flourishes shaped to criticize the Obama administration. See what happens when you elect a black man? See what happens to white people go goddamn crazy? Woo! The black man is president! Woo! Governor Brian Schweitzer of Montana, who's the government, says this is the theater of the absurd and it is dangerous rhetoric. Schweitzer is a Democrat in a state where the Republican-controlled legislature is considering, among a raft of anti-federal proposals, a declaration that would require the FBI to get the local sheriff's permission before making any arrests. The governor, who is from a family of ranchers, said he had just registered a cattle brand that spelled out the word veto. Oh, my God. It's just, you know, I think that's great. So here's what we'll do. I am suggesting that all bank robbers, are you a bank robber? You off tonight? Too much rain? Tornadoes in your area? You planning bank robberies? Listen, here's what you do, bank robbers. And kidnappers, if you like to kidnap CEOs of companies, do it in Montana after this law passed, then the FBI can't touch you. Okay? Just go to Montana and rob banks. And you're safe. The FBI cannot touch you. Go to Montana and kidnap CEOs. You'll be safe. The Montana legislature is going to write a bill that says the FBI can't do anything inside the state because, you know, the FBI works for Obama, the Negro, in the White House. It's the White House, not the Black House, right? Right, Montana? The hell is wrong with you people? What the hell is wrong with you people? We are going to wind up with the Federated States of America, and I think it's a good idea. Let the crazy people have their chunk. Let rational people have their chunk. Utah's legislature passed a bill in 2010 that authorizes the state to use eminent domain protections to seize federal lands. Oh, my God. See, then when the federal lands are seized, then the Koch brothers can come in and just do anything they feel like doing. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. The phone number here is 877-996-2556 if you would like to check in. This hour is sponsored by Captain Bill in Key West. His message, Mike and Kathy, don't you dare shut down this two-bit radio show. I don't think I could go on living without my daily dose of fun and frivolity. Keep it lit, Captain Bill in Key West. Thank you, Bill. Well, I'll tell you, the key to all this, of course, is podcast subscribers. And the way you do that is go to MikeMalloy.com and follow the link and subscribe. It'll cost you $59.60 a year. And if you want to do it monthly, it's $7.95. Is that what it is, Kathy? $7.95 a month? Something like that. I realize times are tough. That's why the price is about half of what it was when we worked at Nova M. $59.60 a year if you want to keep the program on the air. Okay? Okay, let's do some phone calls. Chris is in Nanaimo, Canada. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Just wanted to say, with the things going on in Wisconsin, the firefighters and all that being locked in and on strike and in solidarity, and, you know, them locking them in and welding the doors shut, it sounds like, you know, Fahrenheit 451 or some scenario where, you know, a spark will be thrown and, you know, there'll be a fire. And where are all the firefighters? Well, they're in the fire. And just wondering if you're seeing this as one of these horrible, horrible scenarios, or if it's just me. Maybe I've been watching.
No, of course it's a horrible scenario. The Republicans in this country are the most insane bunch of dogs ever loosed on the United States. And what they're doing is just what insane dogs do. I mean, these people are going to give mental illness a bad name. They operate out of this great big giant economy box of crazy, and they're infecting the entire country. So, no, you're not. I don't think you're being extreme and seeing this as extreme at all. This is madness. The United States, Greg Palast has it pretty much nailed. The United States is an armed madhouse, and what you're seeing is the crazy part of this.
I wonder if that makes Bachman like their spokesperson or maybe a modeling figure like Barbie was back in the day.
What now?
Well, what does that make Michelle Bachman or Catherine Harris?
Michelle Bachman?
Any these other crazy ones?
They're vampires. They eat the flesh of this republic. They gnaw on it. Maybe they're not even vampires. Maybe they're ghouls. They just gnaw on the bones of this dying empire. Bachman is clearly insane. I mean, some of these people, you can look at them and tell that they're crazy. Yes?
Yes, yes. I'm just waiting for her head to flip back and for her to eat a gerbil or something. I'll keep it lit, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Take care, Chris. John is in Johnson City, Tennessee. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Well, you know, we've had the attack on teachers and, of course, the unions. And, you know, the retirement, they want to really destroy that in the end. And here in Tennessee, from what I hear, I don't watch TV, they want to do away with having a teacher certification.
They do?
Yeah.
And put what in its place?
Well, you know, you got a degree, you can go teach.
And who wants to do away with the certification?
From what I hear, the legislature.
But why?
Because it destroys the job. All of these things are meant to destroy the job until it turns into a job that it's not really worth going to college for.
Well, no, wait, I'm lost here, John. It seems to me that certification would is a good thing or is it not? Explain it.
Well, certification's a wonderful thing, I believe it.
Uh-huh.
But Republicans don't care. Destroy destroy the job. Anybody can come in and teach.
I see.
Can be replaced at any time.
There you go. Okay, now I got
destroy
that.
Destroy the tenure. You know, let's do away with that. Destroy the pension, which is really just about after people teach for a while, the only reason they stay. And then you have a job that nobody wants anymore. It's just run-of-the-mill
right.
job.
Right.
And you win. That's how it's won.
Now, you're telling me that's what's going on in the Tennessee legislature?
Well, it's going on everywhere. Uh-huh. I mean, the certification, from what I hear, is in Tennessee. But, you know, it's a nationwide attack.
Right.
You know, I told you that the Republicans, the corporatists, want to destroy the pensions. If you can destroy the pensions, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You get away, you get the pensions out of the way, it means the jobs are worthless.
Okay, what to do to fight back, John? What to do?
You're going to have to start fighting on an economic scale. You can't use words. I mean, the Republicans have adopted different strategies over the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
They have. They changed. They bought up everything. They bought up the TV, the radio stations, the newspapers.
Right.
That's pretty smart. They're total jerks, but it's smart.
Mm-hmm.
They're going after the paycheck, the last paychecks that count in America. The last few things where it's hard to replace somebody. Not having to have a certification, I'm going to replace you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's the whole deal.
Right.
Make the job worthless. But, you know, I've told you before, I thought up an economic plan. I worked blue-collar jobs, farm work, factory
mm-hmm.
work, at the post office,
mm-hmm.
my life. But then I went to college,
mm-hmm.
business school. You can't fight these guys with words.
That's
You're
true.
Losing.
That's true.
You're losing, and you need an economic plan. But, you know, and I'll leave it at that for tonight. But until, you know, the liberals come to see that, you know, we've got the numbers. You're going to lose. And you keep losing a little bit every election, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 years or so, people are going to be so poor they can't mount a defense. Believe me. I've been that poor. I got lucky and got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get so poor that, you know, you're counting pennies to see if you can get a can of chili or a pound of hamburger,
it's too late to fight back. Yeah, I've been there too, John.
You know, you can't.
Right. I hear you. All right,
John.
Thank you, John. Listen, I got to move on. Thank you, sir. I appreciate what you had to say. And it makes sense. It really does. But I don't think there's enough time left to do what the right-wing crazy people in this country, as John points out, he didn't say this, but what he meant was they may be crazy, but they've had a lot of money, and they have used the money effectively. So there's no time left. There's not 40 years. This country is going to be lucky to last another 5 unless these right-wing pigs are stopped. So what to do? What to do? It's going to take direct action. It's going to take millions of people in the streets. I mean, the model is there on television. It's been there for the past couple, 3 weeks. And you don't have to go to Libya or Egypt or Tunisia or Iraq or Iran or all these countries where people demanding response from the government is occurring. All you have to do is look at Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin is not that populated a state, and they had 100,000 people there on Saturday demonstrating. So if you want a model, there it is. And the weather's cold there, and it's snowing. And it's hard to do this, but the people in Wisconsin who are trying to stop this madness are in the goddamn streets every day. What are you and I doing?
he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Captain Bill in Key West, who sends the message, Mike and Kathy, don't you dare shut down this 2-bit radio show. I don't think I could go on living without my daily dose of fun and frivolity. Keep it lit, Captain Bill in Key West. What he's referring to is the program costs you, if you subscribe to the Malloy Show commercial-free podcast downloads, 25 cents, roughly, per show. $59.60 a year. So go to MikeMalloy.com and subscribe. Okay? I'm telling you. Okay? Just leave it at that. Barrett is in Atlanta. Hello, Barrett.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I'm responding to the previous caller who mentioned that basically over the last 40 years, Republicans have mastered the art of propaganda. I'm paraphrasing. But I think out of full disclosure, we have to admit, Mike, that they've been bankrolled big time, man, starting with the Coors Foundation in the early 70s on up to the Koch brother now. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And I remember when you said a few years ago how Hollywood, you know, they don't bankroll the liberal causes and stuff like that. Could you imagine if Charlie Sheen would spend some of that money on our cause?
Charlie Sheen is insane.
Yeah.
He's really lost it. You know, I don't pay any I don't watch so-called primetime TV because we're working, but every time I turned on CNN or MSNBC tonight or the nightly newscasts on ABC and CBS, I couldn't believe it. There's all this stuff about Charlie Sheen. Who gives a rat's ass about Charlie Sheen? The guy is obviously out of his mind. I liked Platoon, the movie. You know, I liked the movie Platoon. I thought he was a good actor. But apparently he's having a public nervous breakdown, and I don't know why that's anybody's business except him. And CBS. I, you know, this is another example, isn't it, Barrett? That bit of information about Charlie Sheen is garbage. It's the kind of garbage that the television networks and the television stations feed to the American public. I mean, seriously, if Charlie Sheen gets fired because he's a psycho or because he has a mental breakdown, I'm not trying to get clever here. If he's having a mental breakdown, then he needs to go in the hospital. But if he gets fired, who cares? I mean, goddamn, is that breaking news every 20 minutes on CNN? It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Barrett. I just went off on that. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, the reason why I called was the first segment you were talking about how Republicans hate children and how they so-called love the child when it's in the uterus, but however they hate the child once it's in the world. Remember former Education Secretary Bill Bennett? Did you remember how he described how you could reduce crime if we abort black children?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I remember. I remember all that. I lived through it. I know. Republicans are ghouls, vampires, sons of bitches. They would do anything to destroy this country. Anything. Anything. Everything.
Wow. I just want to share that with you. Thanks.
All right, Barrett. Thanks. Take care. Yeah. Remember that? William Bennett, and this massive hunk of Republican meat still shows up on MSNBC or CNN. You know, well, here he is, a former drug czar or whatever, you know, who said the way to reduce crime is to abort black babies. Son of a bitch! People like that, I... Oh, my God. Boy. Tom is in Bullhead City, Arizona. Hello.
Yeah, hey, I just want to say that Barrett is great. You are great. Kathy is great.
Yeah.
And now that I've accepted my Academy Award.
Yeah.
I want to report into you about what happened in Los Angeles.
Yeah, go ahead. What happened?
Yeah, it was like as a security guard, I used to professional count people, and there was like 2,500 people there.
Uh-huh. That's good.
2,500 people there.
Yeah, that's...
And it was like unions and you know, MoveOn.org and about 11 other groups, and along with the idiots. Was that LaRouche? Who's that guy? Glass-Steagall, LaRouche, Lyndon LaRouche, right?
Yeah, you're right.
They had a booth. They were the only people there with a booth, and there was like five of these guys, and they were like, one of their legs was as big as my arms, you know? And I was just going to pound him into the ground, but I just didn't do it.
LaRouche is another one of the. He's like. He's like the Scientologist or something. LaRouche is another crazy. You know, he claims to be a Democrat.
Yeah, but remember back when he ran with Carter back in 1976? And
with Carter? LaRouche never ran with...
Against Carter. But it was Carter, LaRouche, and Ford or something like that.
I know. Those are weird times. See, I got to leave it there, Tom. Thanks. I'm glad you went to the protest. We went here in Atlanta. There are about 350 of us, which is astonishingly big number for Atlanta. Thanks, Tom. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. The hour is sponsored by Captain Bill in Key West. You related to Captain Tony? You remember Captain Tony, don't you? Captain Bill in Key West, he writes, Mike and Kathy, don't you dare shut down this two-bit radio show. I don't think I could keep on living without my daily dose of fun and frivolity. Keep it lit, Captain Bill in Key West. We have an open line here, 877-996-2556. You know how seldom I take phone calls, so you better get in here now. 877-996-2556. Mike is in Salt Lake City. Hello, Mike.
Well, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I want to talk about Ronald Reagan and labor unions. You know, it's ironic that 30 years ago, approximately 30 years ago in 1981, that's when Ronald Reagan broke the air traffic controllers.
Right.
And then there's some other things that I want to let your audience know what Ronald Reagan did to the unions that you don't hear anymore. One thing he changed that. If a worker or a union goes out on strike, the employer has a right to fire you and hire permanent replacements. That's one of the things, you know, his people did. Mm-hmm. And then a second thing was that, you know, if you're a union member, you could work during a strike and there was nothing the union could do to you. Back when the unions were strong, if you crossed the picket line, you were hauled before the union board and fined until you couldn't pay your dues. You didn't pay your dues, you don't work. But Reagan changed that to weaken the unions, obviously.
That's true.
Yeah, and what I'm trying to get my fellow Utahns to understand, I don't care whether you're a conservative or liberal, why do you vote for these people that are going to cut you up? That's what I don't get.
Well, I don't either. When you figure that out, Well, you let me know, because I've been struggling with that for about 35 years, but I've been talking about it for the past 15. What makes American workers, working class, so-called Reagan Democrats, whatever, why do they do that? Why do they vote to very slowly drag a rusty, half-sharpened knife across their own throats and then choke while they watch themselves bleed to death? I don't get that, Mike. Explain it to me, please.
All right, I'll give you an idea. I have noticed that in predominantly red states, you know, where religion, you know, is predominant, you know, LDS religion is dominant here in Utah,
right.
And then the Christian evangelical in your area. Now, what I find about religion is religion teaches you unquestioning obedience to authority figures, so long as they wear the Republican label. But when you get somebody like Bill Clinton or Obama in there, then you start asking questions and da 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 da. I just think it's this religion that, you know, discourages free thought and questioning and putting things together for yourself. That's one of the things I can put my finger on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still don't know the answer. Do you?
Well, then I'll give you another idea. You know how feminist women's groups would talk about the battered women syndrome, or like it said in a 1950s psychology book I have in my collection,
mm-hmm.
called Identification. Let's say, for example, you were a captive of the Nazis, okay? You know, you identify with their values that you start agreeing with them. That's also another possible explanation.
Well, and look what happened to the Germans.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, I appreciate the insights, Mike. Take care, okay?
Okay, take care.
All right. I'm trying to remember when Reagan radically was elected, the first thing he did was to dismantle PATCO, the union that supported him. I'm trying to remember how the American public reacted, and I'm drawing a blank. I really am. I know the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Association reacted. But I'm trying to remember if the American... I don't think the American public did anything, and that was... what was that, 30 years ago? Did they? I'm not sure. Bill is in Paso Robles, California. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, hey, Mike, I saw you on the boat and Kathy and all that.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah. I'll try to make this real short because it's a big topic. For some time I have thought that what this country someday is going to need is some updated version of the Manhattan Project, not to build an atom bomb, but to save the country by some, all the powers that be, governmental and private and whatnot, to come together
mm-hmm.
to save the country from going off the cliff. And what spurred me tonight to really call is that about a week and a half ago, I read an article about Simon Johnson. You know, he's, you know, very popular economist now. I read a review of his book, which I'm holding in my hand, called 13 Bankers. I wrote him a letter, you know, from the Huffington Post site. He wrote me right book. He wrote me right back, and he said, Bill, I'll send you the book. He sent me the book in 6 days. I'm holding the book in my hand.
Yeah.
And what his book says is, to make a long story short, we probably, one of these days, not tomorrow, maybe not 6 months, but pretty soon from now, chances are we are going to need some form of a Manhattan Project to keep this country from basically financially going off the cliff to hell. And that's it. I'll just listen to you, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Okay. Thanks for checking in, Bill. I appreciate it. Boom, 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 boom. Ted is in Rochester, New York. Hey, Ted.
Hey, Mike. It's such a pleasure to speak with you. I really appreciate everything that you do. I've been listening to you for years, and please just keep up doing what you do. And as soon as I get $60, I will certainly be subscribing to your...
Well, thanks. That's very kind, Ted. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Mike, just briefly, I just wanted to mention that the American worker, whether they are in the public sector or the private sector, needs to realize that they have to have some sort of collective bargain position with their employer.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if it's a public employee with the state or a municipal government, or if it's a private sector employee with their corporate employer. I have two parents that I'm struggling right now to provide care for. My mother worked as a physical rehabilitationist nurse for mentally retarded children,
right,
and young adults for the state for well over 30 years. She was diagnosed with lupus back in about 1988, mm-hmm, and every year since then, there's just been a steady decline in her health.
Right.
My father worked for 30-something years at Eastman Kodak,
mm-hmm,
and most recently, not even 2 months ago, he was on the verge of having a heart attack, and he had to undergo a procedure to remove a blockage. I don't understand how anyone can think that a worker can do physically demanding work, okay, well into their 60s before they can receive some sort of retirement benefit,
mm-hmm,
pension, entitlement. I don't care what you call it. With the case of my father, what Eastman Kodak did with several of their retirees after the company wasn't really competitive in the digital market,
mm-hmm,
they started eating away at benefits that they promised their retirees, such as life insurance, dental, health. My father doesn't even have any of those benefits after 30-something years,
mm,
you know, at a company.
Well, you know...
And meanwhile... I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Ted, so much of that goes on in just about over a certain age, everybody's family, and the system is wrong. I don't think the system can be fixed. Capitalism doesn't care about your father, doesn't care about me, doesn't care about my six-year-old. Capitalism doesn't care about anything. All it's interested in doing is working as many of us as possible to death, and then they kick us to the curb, kick our corpse to the curb, and go get some more of these dumbass teabaggers to fill the slot that we held. And it's not going to stop until we change the system. Hey, Ted, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, when no one gives a damn about the future of children.
Robert is driving along the Florida-Alabama line. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Mark. Hey, I guess since you're taking calls, this is open mic night, eh?
Well, not really, but you're welcome to call in anytime you like, Robert.
Well, bless your heart and thank you. If you don't mind, please allow me to make 4 or 5 statements, kind of short. If you have anything to go with any of them afterwards, feel free. First, to get the tree out of the red into the black. And I was a police officer for the better part of 11 years in the great state of Alabama. And let me tell you something, man. The wrong recreational drug is legal. Alcohol is a ton of trouble.
Right.
What we need to do is legalize pot.
Okay.
They've already got the tax stamps. I don't know how you can tax an illegal commodity, but there's already tax stamps. Legalize it, tax it, control who gets it. You'll free up the prison system. You'll free up the
justice right, right, Robert,
system,
Robert, Robert. Yeah, Robert, everybody who listens to this program is real aware of that. We talk about that all the time. What's the next point?
Oh, okay, next point. A fellow from Atlanta, asked him about the Runestone, the George Runestone up on...
right, yeah, we've been there. Yeah, what about it?
Damn. Well, I'm new to you guys, see?
Okay, what's the next point?
Have you talked about Dugway?
Who?
Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah.
No, that's a new one. All right, what's the other one?
Ah, okay. So do the Dugway thing with a guy from Utah.
All right.
And... I'll tell you what, man. I'm driving, but I'm hands-free.
Okay.
Just wanted to drop a few of those things. Oh, yes. Coors Corporation.
Coors, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
They are some evil people, Coors. They are. They're almost as evil as the Koch brothers. The only reason they're not as evil is because they don't have as much money. Robert, thanks, man. I hope you tune in a lot because so many of the things that you brought up, yeah, we talk about on an ongoing basis. And I appreciate your comments, sir. Do call back. Susan is in Sunny Squim, Washington. Not so sunny tonight, though, is it?
Well, no, Mike. We've been having some pretty bad weather lately.
Yeah, you have. Plus, the sun is all gone, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We had some snow and 19 degrees. But we went out, and we went out with U.S. Uncut Seattle.
Yeah.
And we went out in the bitter cold and stood in front of BOA and yelled things and had signs. And the guard came out, and they called the cops, and Channel 7 came down.
Yeah?
So, hey, they never put it on the air, though.
anybody get busted?
No, nobody got busted. No, yeah, well, I tried, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Basically, the same thing happened here, only the weather was great. It was beautiful on Saturday.
We would have had more people if we didn't have the wind. It was horrible.
Yeah, but, we saw a bunch of TV channels, but as far as I know, nobody gave it any coverage either.
No, they came and sent their crews out, and then they never put it on the air. But,
right.
You know, then there was, you know, it was competing with the support for Wisconsin that was in Olympia. And a lot, there were 3,000 there, so that was good. But what I wanted to call about was you keep hearing people say with all these demonstrations that's going on, you know, that it's reminding them of history repeating themselves, that it's just like 1930s and it's a cycle, and that, you know, that the wealthy are going to take over. And I really think that the robber barons of that era, that these people today think they're like that they are going to take over. But you know what? I think what's clicking in here is this, I call it the Paris syndrome. The how you're going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris syndrome.
Yeah.
We have been the middle class. We pulled ourselves up after World War II. We are the children of those people that fought that war. And we know what it's like to be a comfortable middle-class family. You aren't going to put us back into indentured servitude again.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't going to take away our 40-hour work week or our weekends. You aren't going to put our kids back into the mills anymore. We will rebel, and we're starting to rebel, and this is why. You can't do it to us again. We are too much smarter now as a society. We are too much more advanced. It's not going to happen.
Well, I'm all in favor of it, Susan. but I'll tell you what, people are going to have to get out in the streets.
That's right.
People are going to have to put their bodies out there. The only thing power acknowledges is power.
Exactly.
And if the capitalists really do believe that they have 330 Americans totally cowed to the point where they can continue to just step on us, walk over us, then they're going to continue to do it.
So, and they're doing it globally, Mike. It's not just here. They're trying to do it in the entire industrialized world.
Sure. So it's time to say enough. And the only way to do that is with a lot of physical presence. Hey,
and this uncut thing is really great because you can go on there. You can make an event happen. They can organize it globally with all the different uncuts all over. There's Canada. There's Australia. There's UK. We can get together and we can do it.
That sounds good. I haven't talked about that on the air yet, but I'm going to. I'm just finishing up my own research on it. Susan, we're out of time. Thanks. Thanks for checking in. Take care. Take care. We are just about out of time. Thanks to our sponsor for this hour, Captain Bill in Key West, who wrote, "Dear Mike and Kathy, don't you dare shut down this two-bit radio show. I don't think I could go on living without my daily dose of fun and frivolity. Keep it lit, Captain Bill in Key West." Thanks, Captain Bill. God, I hate Mondays. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.